I hope that you listen carefully to those words. I would encourage you to have your bulletin out because we will be using it this morning. I also want to encourage you to spend some time this week reading the article on the back and thinking about this morning's lesson. You know, it's important to understand that one of the unique characteristics of Christianity is forgiveness. That song we just sang really brings that idea forcefully to us. I don't think young people today have really understood how vital this subject is in the history of the world, in our families, in the church. I said one of the most unique characteristics of Christianity is the concept of forgiveness. Have you ever thought about why what's happening in Iraq, in the Ukraine, in Afghanistan, in Missouri? Why that's happening? See, forgiveness is not the dominant thought of most religious systems. It's not the dominant thought of our popular music. It's not the dominant thought of the way most of us think, the way the world would have us think. Listen to some statements from the Quran. This is Surah 2, verse 194 from the Quran. Anyone who attacks you, attack him in like manner as he attacked you. The Quran, Surah 42, beginning with verse 42. Those who avenge themselves when wronged incur no guilt. The Quran, Surah 47, beginning with verse 3. When you meet the unbelievers in the battlefield, strike off their heads. Retaliation is decreed for you in bloodshed. When they cut off the head of that journalist this last week, that was the surah they quoted. But you know, one interesting facet in the world conflict situation is that in the Old Testament, revenge is still the byword. Listen to Leviticus, the 24th chapter, beginning with verse 17. This is part of the old law, of course. He that kills a man shall surely be put to death. And he that kills a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man causes a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so shall be done for him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. That's the old law. The conflict going on right now with the Hamas and with Israel is because those are the passages the two sides are quoting. War, violence. But you don't have to go to Iraq or Israel. Isn't it interesting that in St. Louis, Missouri, we have the same battle taking place? The definition of the word revenge, according to Webster, is to rid oneself of resentment. To rid oneself of resentment. Let me ask you something. When you retaliated against somebody, be it a classmate, be it a kid next door, be it a neighbor next door, be it your parent, your child, be it your wife, your husband, did it really get rid of resentment? Did it really accomplish what the word means? Do you really feel better? Does it take it all away? See, Jesus Christ changed all that. Listen to Matthew 5, beginning with verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I just read you that passage. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other side also. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who tasks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain upon the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, how are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect. Therefore, the Greek word there means complete. As your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, that passage is not a call to get beat up. That's not a passage that we use to condone violence against us or anybody else. The call is to get rid of those things that can destroy us. I'm an old man. I have seen so many times what I'm talking about, Ryan and I, played out. James Petty is a minister of the church, was a preacher in Chicago for a long time. He was also a psychologist. James used to tell the story of a woman who came to him. He was a counselor, and she told him she wanted revenge. I've lived with this man for 25 years, and I want revenge. What can I do to hurt my husband? I want a divorce, but I want to get him. James is a wise man. He said to this woman, well, I'll tell you what you do. For the next 6 months, what I want you to do is that every time your husband does anything, I want you to praise him. Every time you get an opportunity, I want you to tell your husband how special he is to you, how much you love him. What I want you to do for the next 6 months is to make him think he is the most important thing in your life. And then when you divorce him, his world will crash. That will give you revenge. And she said, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I'll do that. About 8 months later, James was walking down the street in Chicago. He saw this woman on the other side of the street. So he crossed over and he said to her, hey, did you get your divorce? Did you do what I said? And she said, well, I did what you said, but I don't want a divorce. We have the most wonderful marriage. And then she looked at him and she said, and this is a Wisconsin term, she said, you snookered me, didn't you? And you may not know what snookered means, but in Wisconsin that means you took me for a ride for another purpose than the one I had. See, she wanted revenge. What she found was that revenge was not the answer. Some of you heard me tell the story about Mace Nelson and Clarence Peterson down in Rochester, Indiana, when I started preaching, the very first place I ever preached. I'd only been a Christian a couple of weeks, and I staggered through doing preaching. Haven't learned much, you say. Well, okay, but it was really bad then. And we had two old boys, Mace Nelson, he was 86 years old, and Clarence Peterson, he was 85 years old. And when I first came there, they made a point of telling me that they had not spoken to each other for 35 years. And Mace told me, he said, you know, I really want to get him. I'm really mad at him. And later on, Clarence said something about, you know, I'd give anything to make him really hurt. And these were Christians. And so I was pondering what to do. And we had a project going. It's a lot like here. There's always a project. And it was a basement project like here. And what happened was that Mace fell off a ladder and he grabbed a pipe that was up above him and he's hanging from the pipe. And Clarence is sitting down there looking at him. There's a ladder about 6 feet away. Clarence isn't moving. And in Clarence's mind, this is his chance to get even. He told me later, he said, I wanted revenge and now I was going to get it. He was either going to fall off a ladder or he was going to speak to me. Well, I got down there and pushed the ladder over. And then I said to them, I want you guys to tell me something. What in the world was it that caused you 35 years ago to decide you weren't going to speak to each other? And they looked at me and they looked at each other and they looked at me and they looked. You know, neither one of them could remember. They hadn't spoken for 35 years. They both knew that. They both wanted revenge because of it. But they couldn't remember why. Revenge. Does it work? I have to be careful with this one because Julie and Carl may try to put pieces together here, and I really don't want them to do that. I worked with the young people in South Bend. I had a young girl in my youth group who got involved with an older man whose wife had died, and the mother was really opposed to this. The guy was 10 or 12 years older than she was, and she was 17, and he had two kids. And the girl kept sharing with me letters from this guy, and they were pretty pointed, very sexual. And the girl kept sharing these with me, and she left them with me sometimes, and I read them, and I tried to advise her as to what to do. Well, the mother was just beside herself with all of this. And finally, the mother went to the man and told him that she hated him and she wanted revenge for what he was doing to her daughter. And the man and the daughter came to me and they said, you know, we want to stop this. And the daughter said, you got to say something to my mom. I don't want her to not ever have contact with me again, but she's threatening to cut me off and to cut him off. And the mother came over later on and she said the same thing. I want revenge for this man and what he's doing to my daughter. He's taking my innocent 17-year-old daughter and he's corrupting her and he's leading her to something that's not in her best interest. And she went on and on. And I finally said to her, do you want to see your grandkids? Do you really want to have your daughter estranged from you for the rest of your life? Is that going to make you feel better? Is that going to make her hurt and somehow that's going to be a pleasant thing to you? Finally, the mother said to me, what can you do? And I said, let me talk to the girl. And I talked to the girl and the girl gave me all these letters, all these notes. And I invited the mother over and I said, okay, now you've read some of these. You've gone through your daughter's closet. You've seen this stuff. You know what's going on. I've got a fireplace down there. The fire's going. You want to put these up in smoke or do you want revenge? And she looked at me and the tears started coming. She says, you know, I don't want revenge. We burned the letters. Now there's a marriage. Now there's not only the two kids from the previous marriage, but there's three more kids. And every time I meet this girl, and we cross paths periodically, she talks about how forgiveness has made her the happiest young mother in the state of Indiana. My point in these stories is revenge is never an answer. However revenge comes, it's part of the old law. What Jesus calls us to is forgiveness. Forgiveness for mom and dad, for son and daughter, for friend, for neighbor. And there are two kinds of forgiveness. One of the examples of forgiveness is divine forgiveness. You know what the word forgiveness means literally in the Hebrew? It means to send away. To forgive is to send away. It's used 36 times in the Old Testament. Isaiah 38:17. In your love you have kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. You've sent them away. God's forgiveness blocks out the past, Isaiah says. Another use of it, incidentally, is to remove the cause of the offense. In Matthew 26, verse 28, something we quote frequently in our communion service, he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." There's that word again, for the sending away of sin. The blood sacrifices of the Old Testament sent away the sins of the people. Jesus sent away our sins. In Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be sent away, is the literal translation. The King James says, for the forgiveness of your sins, to send your sins away. Acts 22, verse 16, now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and send away your sins. That statement was made to Paul. How bad were Paul's sins? You think you got sins? Paul put Christians in prison. Paul was in part responsible for the death of Stephen. Yours are trivial in comparison to Paul. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 16, talks about God's forgiveness. Verse 16 says, so from now on we regard no one as from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ this way. We do this no longer. See, God's forgiveness is different than ours. Don't equate God with resentment and grudges. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. If you're a Christian, you're a new creation. Do you understand that? There's something different about you. The new has come, it says. That means you're going to start thinking differently. I'm going to give you a little test here in a minute. Check that. Something new is going to be a part of your life. Then he goes on in verses 18 and 19 and says, all of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. See, God has that capacity. God can blot out your sins. God can send away your sins. Do you believe what God says? Do you believe that God will not count what has happened in your past? God's forgiveness is different than ours. We tend to make God a human being. I've heard people say, well, I just don't think God can forgive me. You're making God a man. You're making God a human with human limitations. Changing men and women through forgiveness is what this church is about. One of the things I think is unique about our congregation here in Dowagiac is that we don't have the hang-ups with the hobbies that restrict people along these lines. When Jesus says, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he doesn't qualify that. Those who have this characteristic, that characteristic, those who have had successful marriages, those who have had obeying children, those who have never been in trouble, he doesn't say that. He doesn't qualify it. God's forgiveness makes us new. That's the easy part of forgiveness. That's the easy part. The hard part is the second part. Human forgiveness. Person to person. And this is hard. Why? Because it depends upon humans. In Luke 23 and verse 34, Father, forgive them that they do not know what they are doing. See, Jesus did it. Jesus knew how to forgive on a human level. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 12, remember the example of prayer. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. He goes on and says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's pretty strong. What's the problem? God knows that if you don't develop the capacity for forgiveness, if that isn't part of your Christian maturity, then you're going to use revenge and it's going to bring pain into your life. And God doesn't want you to have pain in your life. Those three illustrations I gave you earlier, you don't want that in your life. You don't want to be estranged from your children, from your parents. You don't want to have a barrier between you and your husband or wife. But it's critical that we understand forgiveness. Your salvation depends upon your capacity to forgive. And that's a growth process. Road rage is a good indication, a good barometer of how much we have progressed in this. And the disciples struggled with this. I know this is a hard subject. It's difficult. It's hard to forgive. Peter said in Matthew 18, beginning with verse 21, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? See, Peter's saying, this is hard. God, this is hard. I don't want to keep forgiving this guy. He keeps messing up. He keeps hurting me. He keeps doing things to me. How many times have I got to put up with this? Jesus said, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Now, he didn't mean 490. What he meant was, you need to develop the capacity, Peter, to forgive. Let me give you an illustration. A lot of us here have had children. How many times did your kid do something wrong? I mean, when they were 1 year old, they started doing things wrong, didn't they? Don't do that. They did it. Don't touch that. They touched it. Okay. Don't eat that. They ate it. And then when they got to be teenagers, the number increased. How many times did you forgive? Seven times? That little two-year-old toddling around, only seven times? Only 490 times? What was the key to your forgiveness of your child? Wasn't it love? Wasn't it love? Your capacity to forgive is a reflection of your love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. And then he says, you need to be able to forgive. Why? Those two are intricately linked. If you don't love, you can't forgive. And growing in love is so critical. How much do you love your husband? How much do you love your wife? See, that controls your forgiveness. Let me ask you something. What is your forgiveness quotient? Take your bulletin and look at page 2 for a minute. I want you to do a little exercise here. Get out a pen and do this right now. Okay? Got a couple of things on there. 1 to 10. 1 means doesn't bother you. 10 means you're yelling and screaming and throwing stuff. Okay, road rage. Somebody cuts you off. What's your reaction? You write it off? Or are you yelling? Circle a number. Larry can do this next one. You hurt yourself. You going home and throwing the saw out the window? You kicking it? Yeah, you did. Yeah. Give it a 10. You're cheated by your boss. We've all had that one, haven't we? You're cursed at by somebody you know. Ouch. Do you ever have your kid cuss at you? Well, I have. You know, in the heat of conflict, that happens sometimes, doesn't it? Ever have your kid say, I hate you? That hurts. How about getting cursed at by somebody you don't know? I'm a teacher. How many times have I been cussed at by a kid I didn't really know, or by a parent I didn't know at all? A lot. You develop the capacity to laugh at it? Ever been solicited by a drunk? How does that make you feel? How about being called by a telemarketer at a bad time? I have to be honest with you, I've broken two phones slamming them in the cradle. How about if your spouse lies to you? I don't know that I've ever had that one. I would think that would be pretty rough. Well, let's skip the last one, okay? Now, let me ask you something. You circled some numbers here. If you'd done this a year ago, would the numbers have been any different? How about next year? If we do this again a year from now, will the numbers be any different? Are we growing? You know, I have to tell you, my road rage coefficient has gone way down. You know, when I was in my late 20s, I was pretty bad on road rage. I've taken a few chances driving that were stupid. I was mad. That guy cut me off. His car was better than mine, so he had plenty of ways to do that. Now somebody cuts me off. Okay. Now, I'll tell you quite frankly, Cindy's road rage is quite a bit higher than mine. Especially if it's a truck. But that, I won't go there. I've got to go home tonight, so. But I think it's important to understand that what God wants us to do is to do what we just did. You might say this thing, come back a year from now. We may do this a year from now if we're all still around. See if the numbers are any different. Let me give you some other circumstances, and let me tell you how I have changed so I don't pick on anybody else. How about somebody who says, I'm gay? Get mad? You know what's happened to me is that originally when people were homosexuals, I always got kind of upset with them. What's the matter with you? But now I realize some of these folks are gay because they've been abused. Perhaps all of them. How about somebody who is a drunk? Oh, I've been pretty intolerant of drunks until my brother was a drunk. And I went back and talked to him and found out why he was a drunk. What is it in my brother Jim's life that led him to a dependency upon alcohol? I'm a lot more sympathetic to drunks. How about a runaway? First time I ran into a runaway, I chewed her out. What in the world are you doing, you idiot? Without asking, what are you running from? What's happened to you at home? I never will forget. This is about the third time that happened to me. The girl looked at me and she said, my father's raped me 15 times in the last month, and you want me to stay there? I don't have the same attitude towards runaways now I used to. How about somebody who abuses their wife or their kids? I had a young man named Mark, been a terrible abuser of his children. And when I tried to talk to him, I found out he had been abused to the point of being hospitalized twice by his father. Abusers have usually been abused. That change your thinking? How about a drug user? Why are they a drug user? about somebody who is grossly overweight. You know, when I was thin, I used to think, that's the stupidest thing. How can you possibly allow yourself to get fat? I don't do that anymore. Why? Because I've learned how hard it is, especially when you get older. How about somebody with a bad temper? Why do they have a bad temper? How about somebody who is sexually promiscuous? We've got a couple of situations in our congregation where sexual promiscuity has been just brutally rough on kids and on families. But what has led this person to be like that? About body piercing. I had a young man that called me 2 days ago. He was in tears. He's in St. Louis. He's a member of the Ku Klux Klan. And was in the middle of that stuff that's going on down there. And he was in tears. And I said, well, why were you a member of the Ku Klux Klan? And he said, because my father was, and my grandfather was, and my brother is. And, well, some of those people have prejudice built into them that I can't understand. Can you? See, I think it's so important for us to learn to look at why people are the way they are. The things that make you mad, the grudges you hold. How about thinking about why those are there? And I come back again to 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Christianity is unique because forgiveness is a strong characteristic of what Christianity is about. Number 320. If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own willful way, dear Lord, forgive. Can you feel that one? Can you relate to that one? If I have uttered idle words or vain, if I have turned aside from want or pain, lest I myself shall suffer through the strain, dear Lord, forgive. Have you learned to be sensitive to those who have these problems I just talked about? And have you uttered idle words? Can you change that? If I have been perverse or hard or cold, if I have longed for shelter in thy fold, when thou hast given me some fort to hold, dear Lord, forgive. I hope when you sang that song, you could relate to those lines. I hope that you could think, you know, that's something I want. I want to be that new person. And then that last stanza, forgive the sins I have confessed to thee, forgive the secret sins I do not see. O guide me, love me, and my keeper be, in Jesus' name, forgive. See, God wants you to be a person who is striving to grow. That little test on your bulletin, I have written at the bottom of the outline, what would Jesus do with those things? One answer is he prayed about it. If you're having a struggle with some forgiveness, we'd consider it a great privilege to pray with you about that. And if you're not the new creature that 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about, then your capacity to forgive is greatly, greatly weakened by the fact that God's Spirit is not helping you with that issue. And so we would beg you to become a Christian. Use the tools God has available to you to be the new person that these verses talk about. If in any way you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, we encourage you to come and express that. As together we stand and sing to encourage you, won't you please come?